This is Ask Chef Jacob, Episode 3, How a Chicken's Age and Size Affect Its Flavor. Well, hello there, my culinary gangsters. Jacob Burton here from StellaCulinary.com and AskChefJacob.com. And let's face it, AskChefJacob.com is just a registered link where you can, it's easy to remember. Just type in AskChefJacob.com and that will take you directly to my Ask Chef Jacob page where you can submit an audio recording. But that's not the only way to get a hold of me. You can always email me, Jacob@StellaCulinary.com. You can Twitter me, @ChefJacob. Or you can ask me a question on the forum. And the forum is nice because it's a community. So people can chime in and give their own answers and give their own opinions, which just makes the discussion even that much more fun and engaging. So this next question comes from the Stella Culinary Forum from a member, Holly. And she's asking about chicken and how the age and breeding mechanisms and size affect flavor. And she says, on the final audio of our confit discussion, Jacob mentions his preference for jumbo chicken wings. I found this to be a divisive issue. During my limited culinary experience, summer jobs, I heard that the smaller the chicken, the better. That big chickens have no flavor and are not tender. Small chickens are where it's at. Anybody else hear about this theory? Also, air-chilled and wet-chilled can make a big difference. Heard about Bell and Evans being best for air-chilled. But does that make a difference? Seems like a marketing ploy. Come on, y'all. Let's talk. Okay, so first of all, big chickens aren't necessarily less flavorful. And in a lot of cases, they're actually more flavorful to a certain extent if their size, if their bigness is because they were allowed to live longer. Because the longer a chicken lives, or the longer any animal lives, the more it works out those muscles. And as we talked about in a previous Q&A series, when the chicken is working out the muscles, you have what's called myoglobin. And myoglobin is contained within the blood. We have it in our blood. And it's what transports oxygen to the muscles and allows those muscles to do work. And that myoglobin will give the muscles a darker color, and that's why chicken leg and thighs are darker than chicken breast, because the chicken leg and thighs do more work, and the myoglobin will also give the muscles flavor. Now, over time, as a muscle does more and more work, it becomes tougher, and it also becomes more flavorful, and as that flavor becomes more and more intense, it starts to turn into what we call gamey. And especially in Western cultures, and when I say, well, not even really Western culture, in the United States, people don't like strongly flavored meats. It's kind of unfortunate, to be completely honest with you. So we have certain farming and breeding practices that basically control for this, and the way that you control for this is mainly through age, right? So we slaughter the animals at younger age, which gives them a less flavorful meat, because once you go past a certain age, and it varies depending upon animal, that flavor is going to get more and more intense until it finally gets to be gamey. Also, the protein itself is going to become more technical to cook, because as that muscle gets more and more work, the protein is going to be tougher. So you have to apply the appropriate cooking methods to break down the toughness of this protein. So, to answer Holly's question, I heard that smaller chickens are better. Not necessarily. They're definitely going to be more tender because they just haven't done as much work and their muscles aren't as large because they're younger. But if a chicken lives longer and is allowed to be older, then it's going to be bigger than the younger chicken, obviously, and thus have more flavor. But again, the chicken is selected and butchered at a very young age because they want to, the manufacturers of these chickens, or these farmers of these chickens, which are really honestly more like manufacturers, they want to hit that right age with that chicken to where it, you know, has a good amount of meat on it, and the meat is tender and juicy and has a decent flavor, but it's not tough and chewy, especially when you're roasting a whole chicken. Okay, so that's one of the things that that they're looking at. You also mentioned air chilled, and here's the thing with air chilled. In my opinion, it's basically marketing ploy. And so let's talk about the different ways your chicken comes. A lot of the times, the cheaper chicken farms will brine the chicken or injection brine the chicken for you. And you'll see it on the package. It says, like, this chicken contains, like, 6% saltwater solution. That means they inject it with a brine. And this is because the brine adds flavor in the sense of, you know, a little bit of salt in there is a good thing. It helps season the chicken. The brine also allows the chicken to maintain its moisture when it's being cooked. And that really is important for especially an inferior quality chicken. You know, I mean, even if the chicken's good quality, I'm all for brining it, but I prefer to brine it myself. You know, why would I want to pay, you know, extra money for a saltwater solution that you inject into my chicken, right? Because you're selling that to me by the pound. So, you know, 6% saltwater solution, you're basically selling me salt and water with my chicken. No thanks, I can brine it myself. So you have the air-chilled chickens, which usually come more from, you know, organic free-range farms. And they don't have the brine already injected into them. And also the air-chilling allows the skin to crisp easier, especially when you're roasting the chicken or when you're, say, pan roasting a chicken breast. If you've air chilled the chicken, it's going to roast nicer. Now, what's funny, though, is let's look at how your air chilled chicken comes. So they take the chicken, they butcher it, they pop it into their air chiller with a fan, and they dry out the skin so you get a nice crispy skin when you go to roast it. Are they selling that chicken to you unwrapped? No, it comes in a package, right? And the moment they put it in the package, then that air chilling effect almost instantaneously goes away because you no longer have that skin exposed to air. So the moisture contained within the chicken is actually migrating into the chicken's skin, undoing all the good stuff that air chilling was doing. There was a brand of chicken that will remain nameless on this podcast that one of my suppliers talked me into doing. They specifically touted air chilled. I said, yeah, you know, air chilled's better. It, you know, it has a better flavor, this and that. It crisps up better in the oven. I was like, all right, go ahead and send me a case. And they sent me a case, and they weren't individually wrapped in plastic wrap, but they were just thrown jumbled in as like 12 to a case of these whole chickens, and all the chickens together were in this plastic bag within the box, sitting in their own juices. And I look at this and I go, that's nuts. You want to charge me an extra, you know, 75 cents a pound for using the word air chilled? So I think it's mainly a marketing ploy, to be completely honest with you. Now, that doesn't mean that there's, you know, not good chicken producers out there. I use exclusively for the restaurant because I'm in California. I use Fulton Valley Farms, and they're a California company. They have happy chickens that actually get to roam around, that aren't locked up in small little tiny cages. And happier chickens that get exercised, they taste better. They have a better chickeny flavor. And when they send me my chickens, depending upon what I'm doing, I usually always process them the same way. So whether I'm using them whole or I'm breaking them down, I'm going to brine them first in a 5% brine. And I have a whole separate video section on brining, which you can go check out. And then after the brining process, I'm going to rest them in my walk-in uncovered. So I'm going to take them out of the brine and I'm going to rinse them real quick just to get the salt off of the saltwater brine off of the surface, which allows for better diffusion on the brine. And again, we talk all about this in the brining series. Excuse me one second. Oh, man, it's us. It's spring in Truckee, and the allergies are starting to fly. So anyway, so after I rinse the salt solution or the brine off of my chicken, I then place it on a sheet tray, and I pop it into my walk-in refrigerator, and I allow it to what? Air chill, right? And that's going to wick away the moisture on the surface of the skin of the chicken, which is then going to allow that chicken skin to crisp and brown nicely when I either roast in my oven or pan roast or whatever it is that I plan on doing with that specific chicken. Now, Holly's follow-up question is, she's referencing my pressure frying video. So I did a video on the science behind pressure frying, which is kind of interesting. And she says, Jacob's pressure frying video makes reference to old barnyard chickens of years ago that are not around anymore. This brings me back to the same paragraph in On Food and Cooking. Harold McGee basically discusses the changes in commercial poultry production. Now, here's the interesting part. McGee said that today's chickens do not have the same flavor of back in the day. Yes, that's correct. So two conflicting views, which is correct, or maybe both are correct, but for different. So I'm really not sure what you think the other side of the argument is, or what my view was. Coffee, good. But yeah, so back in the day, so to speak, chickens were allowed to age longer before they were slaughtered. So now, on average, they are actually slaughtered 10 weeks earlier than they were back in 1960 when the pressure fryer technology by Colonel Harlan Sanders of KFC fame was developed. So what that means is, well, first of all, the chickens are coming to market faster, which means the chickens are using less resources, technically, and they're able to have a faster turnover. So it's more profit for the chicken farmers and manufacturers, right? So if they can get their chickens from hatchling to market in 10 less weeks, then that makes a big difference to their bottom line. And so this is why you have the whole thing with, growth hormones and, all these different injections, which are, kind of gross, to be honest with you. And these allow the chickens to grow faster, quicker. That's stupid. This allows the chickens to grow bigger, faster, and get to butchering size faster. And because they've had less time running around and being a chicken, 10 weeks less time, even though they're technically bigger and fatter, their meat is still more tender because they haven't had, 10 weeks more time to run around and exercise and build up the toughness and the connective tissue in their meat. And this actually leads to less flavor. So the chickens of today, for the most part, the mass manufactured chickens of today are way less flavorful than than 60, 70 years ago. But this is why it's important to support your local farmers and your local farmers markets. There's guys in every area of the United States and Canada and Europe and wherever you live, I guarantee you there's someone within driving distance, hopefully, that, is trying to do best practices and really grow chickens or grow vegetables or grow proteins the right way. And so if you have a farmer's market program in your area, I highly recommend you go and support that and try and start shopping there. Because as a consumer, you can vote with your dollars. And quite frankly, the best way to, create a good dish is to start with a good high quality ingredient. And some of these chickens that are being sold at large supermarket chains are far inferior to what your local farmer will be selling at a farmer's market. So if you're in California, I would recommend checking out my friends over at Fulton Valley Farms Chicken, which I buy exclusively my chicken from them. I highly recommend them. I'm not really sure how far they distribute. And no, that's not a paid commercial. I'm just telling you what I use and what I like. So really, the main takeaways from this is the more exercise a muscle gets, the more flavor it's going to have, but also the more connective tissue it's going to have, which is going to make it tougher. The chickens nowadays that are produced are brought to market much faster than they were 60 years ago, mainly because of our ability to do so through technology. And because of that, we're sacrificing flavor for the profits of the chicken manufacturers, quite frankly. So that's the deal with that, Holly. I hope that answered your question. Hey, if you have a question of your own, you can go to AskChefJacob.com and submit an audio question there. Or you can head on over to StellaCulinary.com/forum and ask it in our forum. Or if you're really shy, you can email me, Jacob@StellaCulinary.com, and I'd be happy to get back to you. Just be aware that if you send me an email, I may read that email. But I will protect your identity. I usually only use your first name unless you give me permission otherwise. So I'm not going to totally out you. And you can always use a fake name too when you write me. And really the purpose of that is just so when you ask me a question, I can use it for content. And when I read your question and give you your answer, then not only you learn something new, but everybody else who listens learns something new. And that's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. Hey, if you haven't already, head on over to stellacorner.com and sign up for my free email newsletter. I always give away some sort of cool bonus when you sign up. Right now, at the time of this recording, I'm giving away my F is for Flavor that talks all about flavor structure. And it's really a great way to think about cooking and combining flavors. It'll answer a lot of questions that you have. And I'll tell you what, man, if you like my podcast, then you're going to love my spam. So sign up for the Stella Culinary email newsletter, and I will see you in the next episode.